This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Warning, the following podcast, which contains strong language and mature content, is unsuitable for children or for the faint of heart. The subject matter discussed will be frightening and graphic in nature. Listener discretion is advised.
When you want to hear about the paranormal, you get the Spooked Girls. True crime that makes you hypothermal with the three Spooked Girls. Stabby snippets will give you dreams. Tara and Jessica will make you ask great along with the Spooked Girls. Bring on the slaughter. We on that haunted ground. The three Spooked Girls.
Hey, Spooksters, and welcome back to another episode here on Three Spooked Girls. My name is Tara, and as always, I'm here with my cool friend Jessica.
Hello.
Hello. And today is going to be episode 2 on our recap of Quiet on Set. If you missed episode 1, go back and check that out. It is also in video version on YouTube for you guys. Okay. Whew, this is when we're going to start getting into the heavy nitty gritty. I mean, it was already pretty heavy in the first one, but this is...
Oh, for sure.
The theme of this documentary is, but wait, it gets worse.
So true.
Ugh, appalling. Okay. So a big focus during this episode is this little girl named Brandy. And now, unlike the other child actors, Brandy is not the one being interviewed. The one being interviewed is her mom, MJ, who I'm not a fan of. Just like Jessica and I, Brandy was one of those 90s kids that was watching this and like, oh my God, that looks so fun. I would love to do that. Like, she was such a fan of The Amanda Show. She was a huge, huge fan. Well, she ends up booking like a minor role in being on it, like one of the kids in one of the classroom skits. And she's like, oh my God.
Which is so exciting, right?
I know. Yeah. I was going to say, like, they were like, oh my God, this is so cool. Like, so excited. You know, everything's being a great time. Now, the whole like parents not allowed on the actual set starts coming up again. Cause just like all that, Dan did not want the parents around.
And it was probably easier with like extras parents, because it was probably easier to be like, there's 10 kids in this classroom. That's 20 extra people on set. Like, it'd be just easier to just have
right.
Small bodied children. I could see that. If I was a parent, I'd be like, oh, no, that makes sense. That's logical.
Right. Yeah, no, that's not why I don't like MJ. There's other reasons.
Oh, I know. I felt very triggered by MJ.
So there's a PA, a production assistant, who is like the in-between. He's the connection between like the staff and the show and the parents. And his name is Jason Handy. So he was just like this super chipper, super friendly, like seemed harmless, like white guy.
Right.
And he would, you know, not only get along with the kids, obviously, he would make an effort to speak with the parents. The parents liked him. Everybody loved Jason. Everyone thought Jason was so great. So much so, he switched numbers and emails with the kids and the parents, which I'm like, I'm not going to give my fucking kids' contact info to a grown-ass adult. Like, what the fuck? First of all, like, the fuck? But okay.
Right. My first trigger was that, was the kid thing. And I was like, I understand an adult getting an adult's one.
Yeah.
But I do not understand this. Let's get my 9-year-old daughter's email or 12-year-old daughter's email.
Yeah. And it's like, especially us older millennials and shit, it's like, we knew what was going on in those AOL chat rooms. Fuck to the no. Like, seriously.
For sure.
So him and Brandy began a friendship, we'll call it. And MJ says, at first, these emails were, you know, innocent enough. They were talking about the show. They were talking about basic shit like that. And she said, as time went on, they started talking more and more and more. And I'm like, I'm sorry, if my little kid is talking to a grown ass man on email, like all fucking day long, like, first of all, I would never let my child do that to begin with. But I'm just saying, like, I don't understand how people thought this was okay. I just don't. I'm sorry. I just don't.
There's this naivete when it comes around children, especially like you and I probably walk through the world a little differently because we were victims of adults as children.
Mm-hmm.
And when you haven't been, I think you just are like, oh, I would never do this. So like no adult would ever do this. But at the same time, it's like, no, we know there's child predators out there. And they were literally like, I remember during this time, like the 2002, 2003, my parents were constantly having conversations with me about, I guess it's strangers on the internet they were having conversations about. Like, you don't know these people in a chat room. But Jason Handy was a fucking institution on all of these shows.
Yeah. So she thought nothing of it till one day Brandy's on the computer. She gets up, shuts it off, runs to her room crying, slams the door shut. And her mom's like, what the fuck? So she goes in there and I'm so glad Brandy, even though her mom's a piece of shit, I'm so glad Brandy like felt comfortable enough to tell her because who knows
right. What
would have happened. So she told her mom like, he sent me a naked fucking picture. So MJ goes and looks on the computer, and it's not only just a naked picture, it's of him masturbating. And he said to her, quote, he wanted her to see that he was thinking of her.
That's so gross and foul. And just, she's like 11.
Yeah. Like, I have an 11-year-old. I would go fucking murder that person. I don't give a fuck. Orange works for me. It's fine. Fuck that.
It goes well with your hair right now.
They would be like, bitch, you right, if I was in prison for that. They'd be like, good for you.
I mean, I honestly, when like, you know, when a parent like kills their kid's predator, there's always a part of you that's like, you shouldn't have done that. But like, you're like, I get it.
Exactly.
I get it.
Exactly. And MJ apparently has this. And I got triggered because I'm like, ooh, this is my mom coded. This bitch didn't go to the cops because she was worried about the cops being like, this is exactly what she said. This is what she said in her fucking interview. They're going to think I'm a bad parent because I let her talk to this person. I can't call the police. All I can do is make sure I keep her far away from him. And they left the entertainment industry. She never acted again and she left Nickelodeon completely. But I'm like, bitch. No, that is not fucking enough, because if he's comfortable enough to do that to your daughter, what other children is he doing this to? We will find out. Like, this bombshell drops and I'm like, no. I have zero sympathy for you. And again, I don't know if this is because of like our trauma and our experiences we had as children.
Mm-hmm.
But as a child who was in Brandy's situation, whose mother reacted the same way, basically, actually worse. She didn't protect me whatsoever. Like, getting her out of there obviously protects her from future stuff, but she's still vile for not going to the cops. I will die on that hill.
I'm with you.
I am just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? She was worried about what she was going to look like, not worried about the well-being of her kid.
When MJ starts talking about it, she talks about how she wanted to be a child actor. Her mom was like a legal assistant.
Oh, yeah. She was living through her kid.
And I guarantee you, because the way that she words it is that Brandy never worked in the industry again. Meaning that Brandy made that choice, not MJ. Brandy was like, I don't want this. This creeped me out. I don't want to be around these people. And it just kind of was like, okay. Because like, there is not enough. I'm a bad parent. I'm not a parent, but I know that if I was in that situation, I don't care if people are like, you're a terrible parent for letting her have a friendship with that person. I would be like, I'm a bad parent then, but I'm gonna be a better parent right now. And I'm going to fucking speak up, because it was like at least 2 years before, I'm getting ahead, but you know what I'm saying? There was a time frame. So other children got hurt.
Yeah, she was not the only one. Before we get into that, we flash back over to Amanda Bynes. And I loved this era of Amanda Bynes. This just makes me so sad, all the bullshit she's been through, because Jess mentioned, you know, we're in the early 2000s. We're in 2002-ish. And this is when Amanda's a teenager now, and she's like wanting to transition into more serious roles, more age appropriate for her roles. Because she even says in an interview, and what's so funny is I totally remember watching this interview. She's like, I love the Amanda Show. Like, I love comedy. Like, this has been great. She's like, but, you know, I feel like I've kind of out outgrown the slapstick. I want to do some more like serious acting. And she does. She wants to go mainstream. And of course, Dan is like, ooh, she's my ticket to getting higher up and getting more money and going mainstream and all that.
Hitched his wagon.
Yeah. This is when the show What I Like About You came out on WB. And Amanda Bynes was in it, of course. That was Dan's, like, this was the show for him. He was one of the writers. He was the co-creator.
Right.
The other co-creator obviously was not going to put up with his fucking shit.
Right.
WB saw Dan for what he was. They did not trust his ass. Mm-mm. And they started pushing him out. They were like, we will still give you producer credits and your, you know, all your other credits, but like, go the fuck away.
Especially because of who the other co-creator was. It was William Calhoun, who is one of the creators of the amazing hit show Friends.
Yes, 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 yes. Mm-hmm. I didn't write his name down.
At this point, it's like, I've done a 10-year show that is multi-million dollar. Like, at this time, the Friends cast is making $1 million per episode.
Yeah.
Right? Or Dan Schneider, who has kid shows. Like, if I'm the WB, I'm like, I'm hitching my wagon to William Calhoun because he big money.
He made Friends, which is still popular today.
Right. He big money.
Like, it's my one of my favorite shows.
Oh, I know. Mine too.
As that happened, it was funny because in my notes, I put the dude from Friends. Guys, I mentioned this in episode one. I'm like super sick. So I was like half coherent when I'm like writing my notes. I'm like, damn it, I should have wrote notes the first time I watched it. But I wanted to like just watch it the first time, you know?
I think it's because it shocked me is why I wrote it down, because I didn't realize that he had made What I Like About You. Or was that the name of the show?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know that either.
And I was like, oh, okay, like, ooh, big. And if I was Amanda Bynes, I would have been like, oh my God, Friends is such a huge success. I want to be taken seriously as an actress. I could be, like, even if you look at the comedy aspect of it, I could be Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, for sure. And I'm sure that's like what? Because her parents were always like planning out shit for her career. So like, I'm sure that was at least on their minds.
And Amanda is very like traditionally beautiful.
Oh yeah.
So it's like getting her in the right places means that she can start playing those like romantic leads, you know, which she did.
Which she did. She did. There's a ton of movies. There was like, She's the Man, which is one of our faves. It's funny because I was talking to Shannon earlier and like we were just like talking about random shit and she like quoted that movie and I was like, oh, so weird because we're going to talk about that today. Yeah. But yeah, she was in like What a Girl Wants and like all kinds of great movies that like honestly are still fantastic.
Can we just for 2 seconds talk about the clip they used from that, which was very weird in my opinion when we're talking about exploiting children. We're literally shooting a behind the scenes shot of her making out with a dude in a boat. And I get that they were like, she's becoming an adult. But like, there were so many more scenes in that movie that they could have like done a little, they could have picked a different scene.
I get why they did though, because it's like, look, she's trying to do like the opposite now. So like, I get why they put it in there. I agree that it's kind of like, because she is a child, but it's like, I understand from a narrative standpoint, you know?
Right.
Well, during this time, Amanda and her parents start butting heads. And Dan's relationship with Amanda, like, they still remain very close at this time. He's still, even though he's, like, got all this shit going on with the show, he's like, that's still my fucking ticket because I've been close with Amanda all these years. Like, I created the Amanda show for her, you know, all of that stuff. So, like, makes sense. She decides, well, I'm sure Dan very much suggested it, to file for an emancipation, which is pretty common with child actors, teen actors during this time and, like, earlier because, whew, we'll get into it because guess what, guys? This whole dark Hollywood shit is gonna be a whole thing. We got more coming later in the year.
That's very true.
So this was like a common thing. Luckily, the judge was like, no, you are not doing this. So Amanda was denied her emancipation and had to remain with her parents. And it's so hard because I have really mixed feelings. It's like, it's weird that she ran away to Dan's house, but on the flip side, I have to say this now. I refuse to speculate on what happened to her unless we hear from her. I get why they talked about her so much because it's such a big part of Dan's like story. But at the same time, I'm like, she's not there to like defend herself or talk for herself or anything. So it's kind of like, it's very murky. If it was just literally, he was just trying to bank off her for money, which like, I know that's still fucked up, but I hope that's all that was. It would make sense why she would run away to his house. Like, oh, this is the only adult that's in her teenage brain being like supporting me and like saying I can do all these things and he's got all these connections. Like, I kind of get it, but at the same time, it's still like, what the fuck? Why? Dan, why? Because I did not know until after watching this. Dan is fucking married. I didn't know that. He's had a wife this whole time. She's apparently, I did not even know about this. I don't know if that's just because I was like, you know, younger, but like she is slash was the food blogger Hungry Girl. That's his wife. And they've been together like a long ass time. Like they're, I'm pretty sure they're still married.
Lisa Lillian.
Yeah. So like she was with Dan and his wife, like, you know, and all this stuff and at their house and yada, yada, yada. And I'm just like, okay.
Like I could see if you were young and this person is a mentor of yours. And if you look at it without knowing that he has a wife, it seems very creepy.
Right.
It's still a little creepy, I'm gonna be honest. Especially like if you look at the tweets that she's written about in the past that have kind of like implied things about him. Mm-hmm. But we're not gonna go into that. We'll go on to like probably a later episode. If Amanda ever publicly speaks about this.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
There is an upcoming fifth episode.
I don't see her being in it.
I really don't either because of how what happened when they approached her about it in the first place. But
yeah. So if you guys don't know, they obviously asked her to be on it because she was such an icon. It makes part of the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
But she said no. She had like a 2-week mental breakdown. And I'm just like, oh my God, I just want to hug her so bad. I just want to hug her so bad. She obviously didn't watch it because why the fuck would you? It would be so triggering. You know what I mean? Maybe we'll do like a bonus episode on the Twitter stuff because there's some bad shit.
At that point, it will be all speculation and all just like trying to connect like Scooby-Doo dots, if that makes sense, that phrasing.
Yeah, and obviously we're not doing that like right now.
Right now. But I do want to put out there, both Tara and I do like have a big love for Amanda and like neither one of us want her to be in a bad place. Like she was doing so well for so long. And unfortunately, when situations like this happen and people relapse with their PTSD, it can take them years to get back to where they were.
Yeah.
And she just got her nail technician license. And I was like, girl, could you imagine getting your nails?
I will go find you and let you do my nails. Like,
right.
Oh my God, that would be such an experience.
This is my thing. Amanda, I know you're never going to hear this, but if you ever hear this, I have a business idea for you. My generation will pay fucking so much money to come sit with you and have you do our nails. It won't even have to be like, tell me the deets of like what happened.
Hell no.
It'd be like, can you just say 5 or 6 of your lines.
I wouldn't even need that. I would just be like, I would just love to just talk to her and just be like, so what are you watching right now? So like, what do you do when you're not working? Like, you know, just like to talk to her.
If it was you though, like I would have to be like, let's say I put this up for you. I'd be like, you just have to at some point, because in the She's the Man, there's a line that like Amanda Bynes says to another character. She's like, after you, Lady Pterodactyl. We literally called Tara Lady Pterodactyl for like a year because of it. I'd be like, can you just refer to her as Lady Pterodactyl the whole time. Like, don't call her Tara.
But I feel like she would probably think that's funny because that's different.
Right. Because it's so niche, right? It's so like probably like off the cuff. She probably ad-libbed it, you know? And she'd be like, oh my God, this is funny because your name is Tara, Pterodactyl. We thought we were very clever too. So, you know.
Exactly.
That's what I mean by like lines like that. Like just.
Yeah.
Can we just sit here and talk about She's the Man? Because like you were so phenomenal in that movie and it has literally been Tara and I's like go-to like friendship movie.
Yeah. I love it. And to go back to the emancipation, because this doesn't get granted, this is the time that the relationship with Dan and Amanda fall apart. Because of course, like her parents, as soon as he was supporting Amanda to get emancipated, they were like, no, fuck you, Dan.
Right. Appropriate.
Yes. That's the end of that. And because Dan's basically kicked off the other show, he's like, well, fuck, what am I gonna do? So he goes back to Nickelodeon.
And they were like, Dan.
Yep. That just like skyrocketed him to success going back to Nickelodeon. Now we have some more castmates that come through and we have Giovanni Samuels, Kyle Sullivan, and I'll talk about Brian a little bit because I want to talk about his mom because she's like one of the few good parents on this fucking show. Giovanni was on 7 through 9, which I'm like, man, I felt like she was on there longer because I'm like, I recognized her instantly.
But you think they almost do like 30 episodes a season.
You're right.
So it could have felt like
over 100 episodes, basically.
Yeah. And she was hella funny.
Oh, yeah. She's fantastic.
And she went on to other things. Like, I remember sitting there being like, oh, my God, she went on to this show. And I mean, some of them were still kid shows, but I was like, I recognize her.
As bad as Nickelodeon is, that was like kind of a good thing for them was like they were able to pivot to other shows on the network. Because like the Kyle guy who was on, he was on All That for part of it, like kind of like a minor, like a side character. And then I think he guested on Amanda's show or was it just All That? I don't know. I seen that kid.
He was on the Amanda show as extra.
Yes.
Like he came in to do a skit and Dan thought he was funny. So when they were reviving All That, he brought him back as one of the main All That characters who kind of like, I think he was on there for like, he was on there for 4 seasons.
Yeah. Which brings us to Brian Christopher Hearn and his mom, Tracy. Tracy's a real ass bitch. I love her. Mm-hmm. Like I say that in the nicest way possible. She is a fucking good ass mama bear. So Tracy, she doesn't ignore these red flags. She's like, wait a minute, that's not right.
Right.
Wait a minute, that's weird. Especially because the very first, oh my God, I'm just like, wow, this is so racist. So the very first thing, guys, that Brian did was this like skit. He was basically like a candy dealer, like basically a little drug dealer, but like candy or whatever kid appropriate thing it was.
I think it was like Girl Scout cookies.
Or cookies, yeah.
Yeah, he was like a dude in a Girl Scout, like essentially their version of a Girl Scout.
Yeah, like they met in a park and it was all like sketch and shit. And then she's like, oh.
Right.
You know, she's like, why is my son, one of the few black children on here, having to play this role? Like, why didn't so-and-so play it? You know, type of thing. Like, that's kind of weird. So she was like, interesting. And obviously she's keeping tabs because there's more. So another thing that he was, and I'm just like, ew, Dan, the bodysuits. We got another fucking bodysuit. The captain knows whatever. He was also in a fucking bodysuit.
Yeah.
Well, little fetus, literally a baby. I'm like, this is so weird. Like, what the fuck?
I will admit, like, because I was like, that's like kind of clever. If we did it today and we did it completely CGI, like that would be funny.
Yeah.
Putting a little boy in a full body, essentially naked onesie with like a head prosthetic is a little iffy.
Yeah.
But I did giggle at the name a little bit because I was like, in my life, little fetus.
But the problem is he was very derogatory about matching the suit to his skin tone. That was not only upsetting to Tracy, but that's something that still sticks with this guy.
Right.
As you would imagine it would. He's a little kid and he's even like, wait a minute, what the fuck? It upset him so much. He was like about to cry and bless that fucking makeup artist or wardrobe lady. And she was just like, you know, comforting him and being like, hey, it's okay. Like, you know, like trying to like make him feel better. And I'm like, good for that lady.
Ignore him.
Yeah. And he has a pattern of favoring white actors versus actors of color.
It's very true.
And during this time, they started talking more about like the massages from female staff, like being all the time now, like literally all the time. They showed like tons of pictures. Tracy was like, things are weird here. Things are fucking weird. And she was not quiet about it. She's like, what the actual fuck? They started doing this, like, I don't know if I watched this or not, because I don't really remember this, but it was called On Air Dares. And it was basically like Fear Factor for kids. Mm-hmm. It kind of started out like silly things. Like there was worms, there was probably slime. And then it turned fucking disgusting. And there was one time when Brian had to get completely covered in fucking peanut butter. And they had a bunch of dogs come out and these dogs are licking him. And that's just like, so I felt so bad for him because like in the recording, he's literally like, I do not like this. Like he's trying to let them know. And oh my God, sidebar, I think we have to add Justin Bieber to this list because there's all kinds of fucked up shit that happened to him. And he was saying this, he was responding the same fucking way. And I'm just like,
oh, for sure. Oh my God. I never saw the On the Air Dare shit, right? Mm-mm. Just never saw it. And when they covered him in peanut butter, I was like, oh, that's kind of a funny thing. Like that would feel awkward. Like peanut butter, like.
Right. Like if they had left it at that.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, like I get it. Ha ha. He's covered in peanut butter. It's going to take a while to get off. It's like whatever. But then when they're like lay on the floor and he had no idea these dogs were coming out. And the fact that these dogs came out and then he's immediately like, I don't like this. I don't like this. And then they're like encouraging the other kids to stand around and be like, ha ha ha, like laughing. Because if that wasn't happening, people watching it on TV would be like, he's not enjoying this. This isn't funny. But the fact that other kids are laughing, it made it okay. And that's like the whole premise of the show.
Yeah.
You're doing things that make you uncomfortable. I'm sorry, but peanut butter all over my whole body would make me feel uncomfortable enough. Oof. Like I don't also need a dog to lick me. And that's disgusting. Also, what if he was afraid of dogs?
Right. Damn, give a fuck.
I think about like the amount of people in my life. Like I have a friend who's like, I can't be around dogs. Little dogs, big dogs, they just freak me out. She's like, I got bit once as a kid and I don't trust them. And could you imagine if she had been in that situation? She would have had a full-on breakdown and contractually made to stay on set.
Or like think of it on the flip side too. What if he was allergic to dogs?
That too.
Like, just saying. So we have another lady that we hear from like very, very briefly. She was in a video, like a film editor for a lot of the shows. She worked on All That, Amanda Show, and then Drake and Josh going into like 2004. And her name was Karen Thompson, and same shit, different day. Let's just be fucking honest, because he got so like comfy in being a piece of shit that she would be standing right in front of him. He would talk to his fucking assistant and be like, tell Karen blah, 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 instead of just fucking saying it to her when she's right fucking there. Like, how gross.
I literally wrote that. I was like, this is the grossest behavior.
Literally. And he was like so demanding, which is, we already know that, that she talked about how like, she's like, you know, there was plenty of days where I'd get there at like 6 a.m. and wouldn't leave till like midnight, or like get there at 8 a.m. and leave at midnight. Like insane. She's like, I tried to like be like, I need to pee, I need to go to the bathroom. And he would tell them no. He'd be like, hold it, hold it, hold it. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. So she literally like passed the fuck out at her desk and had to go to the emergency room. And their reaction was, how's the show going to get finished? Are you fucking kidding me?
I would have been like,
there's a team of you, first of all. And second of all, you don't know what the fuck just happened to her. What if she died?
Also, like the fact that like, if she got to the hospital and they were like, this happened because you haven't eaten, and they start asking questions, that would have been really bad for Nickelodeon. And if she had gone to the hospital and the hospital have doctors who are like mandated abuse reporters, were like digging into why she probably was probably anemic, probably had all these issues. Just hearing this woman had to have at least one UTI, like at least one.
Oh yeah. And was probably like severely dehydrated.
Yeah. And they were probably like, what's wrong? And she's like, oh, my work, you know, blah, blah, blah. It would just take one doctor, one nurse to be like, this is inappropriate behavior, and then call a union. Because all of these people, like, in the film industry, everyone is union. All they'd have to do is call the union, and then there's an investigation. Literally, they were like, how are we going to get this done? And she was like, I'll be back.
Like, poor lady. Jesus Christ. Because she was busting her ass for someone who did not deserve her work ethic. Because she was trying to go after a different job, like a promotion or something. And some fucking another basic young white guy got the job and the higher pay, and she didn't. So she was like, no, fuck you. Goodbye.
Because Dan had promised it to her.
Yeah, he said, this is yours.
Right. And then she busted her out. Like, this is how, like, think about it. He did it with Katrina Johnson. We talked about it in the first episode. Jeanette McCurdy isn't in the documentary, other than like clips of her in other interviews. But in her book, she talks about the fact that, like, you know, he dangled the carrot in front of her of the Sam show, you know, like, ooh, you're going to have the Sam show. It's going to be a spinoff of iCarly. And it's just you. And I think he does this time, because if you look at it, he picks a character, like a supportive character from a show, and then raises them up into another show.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, when you're young and you're responsible for the economic state of your family, like, Brian talks multiple times about, like, I'm trying to get my family out of the hood. Mm-hmm. Like, those were his exact words.
He was trying to make a better life for his family. And that's
right.
That's so much responsibility for a child. Like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God. So much. So much.
Ugh. Just my heart hurts so bad. And there was like one good egg, but of course he gets fired.
Oh, Virgil.
I don't remember what his position was. I think he was like
a director.
Oh yeah. That's what I thought, but I was like, I feel like I'm wrong. I'm not gonna say
it. Because they say it in like the first episode. I don't know if they say it in the second one.
I don't think so. This guy is Virgil Fabian. And honestly, he was like the only one who was advocating for these kids and calling Dan out on his shit. Well, Dan didn't like that. And Dan, being the fucking coward he is, sent some other production assistant to fucking fire him. Virgil was like, what the actual fuck? Because like at this point, he had worked with Dan on multiple shows. Like, I think he started on All That with him. Like, he worked multiple shows with him.
Mm-hmm. He was the director of All That all the way through the Amanda show, and then all the way back to...
And Drake and Josh, right?
No.
Some other show.
Yeah.
Some other show.
Or maybe a little bit on Drake and Josh. I'm not sure. But like, he had worked on multiple shows with Dan.
Multiple years. Yes, exactly. He's like, no, if Dan wants to fire me, he can. Because obviously Dan's a hothead. So I'm sure he probably was just like, oh, Dan's having a bitch fit. He was like, no, Dan can come fucking tell me himself. And I'm sure the lady did not want to go tell Dan that. So she was just like, no, dude, like, you gotta go. And so he left. It's just so sad, because it's like, you know, Giovanni and I think somebody else too, like, talked about how awesome Virgil was. Like, he was truly there for the kids. He was like the only non-creep, I swear.
It's true.
So that happens. And the children actor said, like, as soon as he left, this is when fucking shit went from bad to worse. Like, the environment changed completely, because of course the only person that was challenging Dan is now gone.
Right.
It's an example. I guarantee he fucking said it at some point too to somebody, because it's like, oh, look, you want to try to challenge me? Virgil did that. Look where he's at.
Oh yeah. No, he made an example. Dan made a career out of fear, really, is what it is that fear the outcome outcome of what happens when you cross me. Because look at the actors whose parents challenged me. Look at who actors were sassy. Look who had the audacity to go through puberty. Like, you know, that kind of shit. I know I had to say it that way because it's like Katrina did nothing wrong. All she did was literally get older and turn into like from a child to a teenager. And anyone who stood up to Dan was gone because Dan is a weak, weak man who needs other people's validation to be a king of something. And if you don't have the self-esteem to do it and command people's presence naturally, you do it out of fear.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And he's making the network all kinds of money, so he's already starting to be like, I'm untouchable type of mindset.
Oh, for sure.
We're going back to Tracy and Brian now. So we mentioned Tracy was like, hell no, bitch. Like, we're not doing this fucked up shit to my kid. So because of that, unfortunately, Brian was fired and not invited back to season 3 or his third season.
Right.
And he was a teenager, like he was like 13. So it's like, obviously as a child, like you're like, what the fuck? And so she said like it changed their relationship as mother and son forever. She said they never healed from that. And I'm just like, gosh. But in hindsight, she's, you know, and she mentions this too, like
she protected him.
She saved him. She saved him from some horrific ass shit. Which will bring us back to Brandy. And in April of 2003, MJ gets a call from LAPD about Jason. So somebody else put in a report on another child in an incident. And so they went in, got a search warrant, and were like, boom, bitch, we're at your house. And what they found is so horrific. I am just like, oh my God. I also have like a little like side tangent about Jason I'm going to tell you about because I saw something on TikTok. They found a fuck ton of child porn. I'm probably going to have to bleep it out for YouTube. So sorry.
So much child porn.
They found over 10,000 images. 1,768 were young girls in erotic poses, 238 images of young girls in sexually explicit poses, and 2 images of girls engaged in, quote, bondage activity. They found a CD that included 7 videos of minors engaged in sexually explicit conduct. And on top of that, he had Ziploc bags that had girls' names on them, little girls' names on them, and each bag had a little token. So think like serial killer shit. So the reason they called MJ was because they found one with Brandy's name on it. Inside her bag was letters she had written to him. And in one of the bags was a pair of girls' underwear from one of his victims who was 7 years old. Like, I just want to throw up. So they ask MJ, are you guys willing to participate in this? Can we talk to Brandy? She says yes. And I'm like, good. She deserves justice too. And she's like, oh, and so this was our way to seek justice. And I'm like, bitch, you could have done this years ago. Mm-hmm. You chose not to. That's on you, you stupid bitch.
Right.
Sorry. I'm like super.
Yes, 1,000%. Tara and I have not talked about this before. So we're both a little charred because I'm like, no, my God. She's like, this is justice for Brandy. And I was like, bitch, justice from Brandy would have been 2 years before when you saw the picture of him masturbating. That would have been justice.
Exactly. Like to start out with, like, what the fuck, man? So she goes and there's one other victim that is willing to cooperate and speak with police and stuff. And because that will include the children talking to police and also testifying against Jason. And I swear, I know she was trying to be like, oh, look at me being a great mom. Because she's like, most parents didn't want to do it. Da 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 da. And I'm like, you didn't want to do it till they called you.
And I have a feeling that the reason that it happened is because Brandy, I know the reason why Brandy isn't participating in this series is because her mom probably didn't want her to do this. She wanted to speak up. And now I'm gonna just make an intuitive leap here and been like, my mom didn't protect me and I'm done. Because why else would, I mean, if it was me, if I was that child and my mom was like, I'm doing this documentary, like I'm an adult now, I'd be like, mom, don't do it. Like if I'm not going to participate, you shouldn't participate. And I think this is just MJ's way of getting her fucking 2 minutes of fame is I was quote unquote technically a bad mom, but I showed up for my kid in the end. Fuck you.
Like, no, you're still a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck off. And if all that wasn't bad enough, they also found his journals. Here's a couple quotes. Word for word, because I paused it and wrote this shit down. I'm a pedophile, full blown. I really have been giving in to my desire for little girls these past few weeks. I even struggle on a day-to-day basis of how I can find a victim to rape if I have to. So he went to court. Like I said, Brandy and the other victim, they testified. And this other victim, I'm also like, why did you even, why? Mm-hmm. So the other victim that testified what happened with her was he used to go to their house. Not only would he go to their house, but he would hang out with this child in her room by himself with the door closed, quote, quote, playing video games and shit. And this was a child actor who was a guest star on Cousin Skeeter, because like we said, he was like all up in all of these shows. He says in his journal, quote, he kissed her twice and tried to shove his tongue down her throat. Keep in mind, she's fucking 9. And then he said, she backed away, feeling uncomfortable about the kisses. I could tell I made her uncomfortable and I apologized. She seemed fine, but a little less lovey-dovey. And he has said he told her not to tell her mom and that obviously in exchange for that, he would get her a job on another show. And this motherfucker for this only got 6 years. And my little sidebar thing was apparently one of his nieces had no idea. They lived elsewhere. And all she knew was, you know, her uncle like worked in the entertainment industry and he was so busy and all this stuff. But really, during this time when she thinks he's busy and shit, he's in fucking prison. And what's creepy about this is like, so first of all, she gets traumatized by seeing her grandparents' house because obviously after all this shit, he fucking like lost everything. Mm-hmm. So he's living with them and the fucking cops like fucking swarm the house to arrest him and all of this stuff. And like, he still sends letters to them, like her and her sister, and like sends gifts for her fucking her children and like, ugh, horrible. All of this, like he's still fucking trying. He's still fucking trying.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Which will lead us into another pedophile that was working on Nickelodeon. And I will let Jess tell you about this piece of shit.
Oh, my God. Ugh. Like the fact that they're two predators, like they'll show like guys, they'll show you a picture in the show so many times. And Jason is like in the top of the video or the top of the picture. And like the next guy is like, Jason's in this row. Here's some child stars. Here's our another predator. So we're going to be talking about a guy by the name of Brian Richard Peck. Or as you might have known him if you're a millennial, is Pickle Boy. He was on All That. Basically, he was a guy who had come in and he didn't really have a speaking role in this aspect. He just carried this giant thing of pickles. I don't know if you know what pickles, like giant pickles look like, but they kind of look like phallic images. And he would basically like give pickles to people. And like one of the things that they show on this, and I remember this, they were like, Pickle Boy likes to taunt and hurt pickles. And they're using it as a dick joke.
Yeah.
It's a dick sketch, essentially, for kids. It's Pickle Boy. I'm like, okay, this is weird.
He's literally putting a pickle in like a glory hole.
Ray Romano's on the show and he gets like trapped inside like a dressing room or a bathroom. And he's like, what am I going to eat? That's my Ray Romano impression. I don't know if I did a good job. Let me know in the comments. Literally, Pickle Boy takes a pickle and shoves it through the hole. Ray Romano takes the pickle and is like, a pickle? Like, not like a pickle. It's just like very, ooh, let me show you how big it is in my hand. I'm like, you guys are disgusting. We all can see it.
Ugh.
I'll see it.
Yeah, just gross.
And everyone contributed this to Dan's weird sense of humor. That's literally like Giovanni on the show. She's like, yeah, it's just Dan's weird sense of humor. Like Dan wrote this into the jokes. It's ah ha ha. It's adult jokes in kids shows. And Brian wasn't just an extra, like an adult extra. He was also a dialogue coach or a dialect coach, and he was an acting coach. So he had access to so many kids. Here's the thing. Everyone loved Brian. It was like, hear the child stars talk about him. Everyone loved him. He was fun. He would crack jokes. And he was, overall theme was, he was very well trusted by both parents and child actors. And he had a long career. Like he literally worked on Boy Meets World. He worked on some really big ass shows. So he'd been in the industry for a long time. He worked on Growing Pains. So he had like a ton of history. So people trusted him for sure. Brian's jokes weren't always well taken because he was like kind of a prankster like Dan. There's a clip on the documentary where he like walks up to another adult, mind you, and kisses the man on the mouth. And the man just looks very like, what the fuck just happened to me? But doesn't really do anything, doesn't really say anything, but is like, Jesus, this is fucking weird. This is the biggest line, I think, in this episode describing these predators, which is Giovanni says, you get comfortable with people, little pause, until you're not. Brian, again, very well liked. And he had a nice house that he would throw parties at. And I want to point this out. I don't want anyone to be like, oh, my friend's dad has a bunch of vintage toys, or my uncle has vintage toys, or whoever has vintage toys and comic books, so therefore they're a predator. That doesn't make them a predator. I want to point that out. I felt like I needed to clarify.
The toys weren't even the red flag for me.
It was just, yeah, no, It was the way that the people on the show were like, yeah, it was weird. He had all these vents. I'm like, no, that's not the weird part. The Planet of the Apes garage, that's a little weird. That's just, but that's like, you know, you're unique. Like, I have a bunch of Highland cows around my house. The really weird fucking thing in Brian's house was the fact that, okay, Kyle, who I want to talk about, Kyle Sullivan, I remember him being this dorky little kid. And now that he's an adult, I was like, you had a glow up, sir. You never long bottomed.
Good for you.
I was like, okay. I was like, good for you, bro. Or good for you, Kyle. But he's talking about it. And he went into Brian's garage and there's a picture of a clown. And he was like, what the fuck is this? This doesn't fit. Because the entire garage is literally Planet of the Apes themes. There's like ape statues and things. And so Brian comes in and he's like, what is this about? It's a fucking self-portrait of John Wayne Gacy as Pongo. And on the back of it, it literally assigned to Brian, thank you for your support, that kind of shit, blah, blah, blah. In Brian's nightstand are correspondence letters and photos that Gacy and him, because they were fucking pen pals. That's the red flag here, people, that he is literally besties, like pen pal besties, with a convicted serial killer.
And I'm just like, okay, Kyle as a child knew that was weird. And the adults fucking saw this shit too. Like, why were they acting like this was the coolest thing?
Kyle was like, everyone gather around and look at this really weird fucking thing.
And they were just like, oh, haha. Like, no. I'd have been like, we gotta go. Bye.
We're never going back to Brian's house. And the fact that he was like, also, let me show you these letters I have in my nightstand. Like, he had them in his nightstand.
Yeah, he probably fucking read them all the time. Fucking trash.
I keep Benadryl in my nightstand because I get itchy bodies. Like, my legs get itchy. And you keep things there in your nightstand that are important to you. These were important to him. Ugh. So, anyway, moving on from that. In 2003, some weirdly weird shit started happening. And they were in the All That set and they were doing a table read. And Dan asked the parents to leave the room, which is a weird thing to do because the parents, by law, were supposed to always be in eyesight of their children. That is a child labor law to prevent them from being assaulted. That's what that's there for. And then they basically were like, the parents were out of the room. And they kind of led to believe that this happened a lot. Like, this might be something that they're like making an announcement and they're like talking to parents maybe in more detail or whatever. They just separated the group. They were like, Brian has been arrested and he has been arrested for the sexual assault of a minor. And they were like, oh my God, who? And they were like, it's a child actor. And they wouldn't tell him who, because obviously this actor is a minor. So they're not going to be like, hey, colleague or whoever, blah, blah, blah. And they go, does anyone have anything to say? Which is such a fucking inappropriate way to handle this. They should have done it individually with each child and a parent. The parent should have been sitting in the room. The fact that they asked these kids or talked about this with their parents outside of the room is inappropriate to begin with. But to sit in a room where, like, at this point, like, people thought Brian was weird, but everyone loved him.
Right.
You don't want to be the other person to raise your hand and be like, Brian also did stuff to me. And so no one spoke up and they waited a couple of minutes and they were like, I love that Kyle was like, the lawyer-y type guys just were like, okay, bye.
Yeah, shoot him out.
And they kind of were like, we have no idea. Even in that moment, like, they didn't know who it was. The people they were interviewing, Kyle and Brian Hearn, I think that's his last name, and Giovanni, none of them knew who it was.
Virgil didn't even know.
Right. Virgil was like, oh my God, that was so sad when he was like,
it wasn't anybody from ours.
Yeah. He was like, it wasn't one of our child actors, was it? And they were like, no, it was. It was an actor on the shows. And he was like, what?
You could just see the heartbreak and being horrified.
Also, he's probably thinking in his mind, shit, I got fired and this kid got hurt. Like, there is probably some guilt with that because he was the fucking line. He was like, no, we don't talk to kids that way. Or no, we don't go off by ourselves with kids. Like, he was that guy. Like I've said in the first episode, you and I walk through the world differently because we are both victims of childhood assault. We see the world differently because we know what can happen.
Right.
When you don't know what's going to happen, you don't know what to look for.
No.
And things that could look so innocent can be so bad.
Yeah. And I feel like even in the early 2000s, it was still very much that mindset of, like, we've talked about on other cases where it's like, that wouldn't happen here. That wouldn't happen to me. Right. That wouldn't happen to my child. You know, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
So I feel like that was still very much a mindset at that point.
So they end the episode with, there were like, someone was like, who was it? And then the camera like pans to an empty chair, like a set chair. And Drake Bell, who was on the Amanda show, who was on Drake and Josh, comes and sits down and sighs, and then it's the end of the episode, implying that Drake Bell is the victim, which, spoiler alert, he is, and we're going to talk about it in the next episode.
Yes. So that is going to go ahead and conclude this episode. Again, let us know your guys' thoughts. If you're watching on YouTube, leave a comment. If you're listening in audio, let us know in the Facebook group or other socials. This is a very hard documentary to watch, and I know this is obviously everybody is saying this, like, I'm so glad these victims are able to speak out. I'm really glad, because this is a very, very serious thing that has happened for decades and decades, like even back to the golden era of Hollywood, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's a lot. So take care of yourself, guys. Make sure you put your mental health first.
Yes.
Go watch something happy. Go pet a dog or a cat. I don't know, something. But with that, we will sign off and we'll see you guys next time. Bye.